Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Praise God. That's what Alleluia means, to praise the Lord, to praise God. Now, why, of course, do we say Alleluia? Why do we celebrate Easter? It's kind of a question we may know the answer to. We probably know the answer to. Of course, we know that Easter is a celebration of Jesus rising from the dead. But it's not just Jesus rising from the dead, but what does he do? He opens up the gates of heaven, but it also means that he frees us from kind of that snare of death. I like to say he rescues us. Now, we all like that hopefully the image of rescue. I know I do. I know when it comes to a movie or a book, I love hearing stories of rescues, maybe even the Marvel series. That's not really me, but I know so many people like that, the one who comes to rescue. That sure reminds me a little bit of one of my favorite games to play as a kid, especially at St. Joe's in West St. Paul in the gym, was a game called Capture the Flag. Who likes Capture the Flag, by the way? There we go. Some adults can raise their hand as well. It's okay, all right? Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not the quickest person in the world. So at St. Joe's, we had another thing for the bigger guys to do, right? What the bigger guys would do is one person on this side, other person on this side, here's the line. If you pull the other person over the line, that person had to go to the jail. That's what I was halfway decent at. But eventually people are like, we're not taking Carlson on. He's this too big, not too strong, just too big. Anyways, so I had to start playing the game of capture the flag, and I tried to go on offense, and I remember once in my career playing capture the flag, I didn't get the flag, by the way, I got to the jail to rescue someone. Once again, just like hockey, never scored a goal in a competitive game, never once captured a flag, but one time I got to the jail. If you got to the jail, you could rescue someone from said jail. Remember that? I ran over there and I looked. So who are you going to choose, right? Are you going to choose like the best player to help your team? Are you going to choose your buddy? Or are you going to choose the girl? You've always wanted to hold their hand and you can carry them. I rescued her, right? One time, I was able to do that. And to be honest with you, I don't remember who I chose, right? But so often, I was actually the one in jail. I'd be like, choose me. I'm like, why would we choose you? You're not a very good player, right? Choose me. But every once in a while, I'd feel that rescue as well. I'd be taken out of jail so I could go continue to play the game. Brothers and sisters, Jesus isn't playing a game. He's not. Jesus comes to rescue us. Out of where? Well, we hear in the Nicene Creed, he descends into hell. He descends into the nether world to take us out of that prison of sin and death. And how did this happen, by the way? Well, all the way in the beginning, we go back to Adam and Eve. We go back to creation, and they have everything. And yet the evil one, the devil, he exists, tried to entrap them, tried to trick them, and they did. Adam and Eve fell. And what did that also bring? It brought death. Now, death is not part of God's original plan. It's not. And yet this is what happened. So God's plan had to change. What was that plan of change? What was that change? It says, I am going to rescue them from death. And all throughout the Old Testament, we see foreshadowing that a Savior is going to come, someone who's going to rescue us. That's, of course, what a Savior does. He comes to save us. And sure enough, Jesus Christ comes fully human and fully divine. Not just the appearance of humanity, by the way, not just the appearance of flesh, fully human and fully divine. And he comes, of course, we celebrate that at Christmas. But then beginning of Lent, what do? We have the temptation of Jesus after his baptism, after washing clean those waters of baptism. And I'm saying, follow me. What does he do? He goes into the desert, prompted by the Holy Spirit. And he goes out and he is tempted for 40 days by who? The same one that tried to trick Adam and Eve. And what does he do? He stands firm. He says, I'm not giving in to the tricks of the evil one. I am going to stand firm. And sure enough, he does. And then he leaves and he begins his public ministry. But throughout that public ministry, we know what? The evil one continues to try to tempt him, to ensnare him, because he knows what Jesus is going to do. If Jesus is victorious, then all of a sudden there's no one left in jail, there's no one left in sin, there's no one left in death. And Jesus is there. But Jesus does something amazing. Kind of makes sense, he's God, right? He's going to do amazing things. In a certain sense, he disguises his divinity a little bit. Now, yes, we see Jesus' divinity in where? We see it in the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the cleansing of the lepers, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and of course in the transfiguration. But for the most part, it's kind of hidden. It's almost like his divinity is camouflaged. He's blending in fully into humanity, because he is fully human, he's also fully divine. And so the evil one may be thinking to himself, by the way, at this time, maybe he's not the Son of God. Maybe I can still strike him down. See, what Jesus is doing, by the way, and this is what Father John Ricardo says in the book Rescued. We're going to hear more about this throughout the year, by the way. One of our themes is going to be rescued this year. But Father John Ricardo says this: Jesus is an ambush predator. What is an ambush predator, by the way? An ambush predator is one who is going through, you can get the ambush when the prey comes near. But a lot of times they're camouflaging themselves and then they strike. You can think maybe even a snake. Let's use one other quick analogy real quick. It's like a boxer. Let's say Rocky Balboa, right? He's pretty awesome, right? Anyway, so Rocky is fighting and all of a sudden he's fighting either Russian or Apollo Creed, whoever it is, I don't remember exactly. And he starts to play the rope-a-dope a little bit. He starts to be like, oh, I'm kind of injured. Then boom, he would strike. It's the same thing Muhammad Ali did, right? Playing possum. This is what Jesus does, by the way, with the evil one. He's playing possum in a certain sense because he wants to lure the evil one in. And this is so beautiful. The church fathers actually talk about this. But remember, what is Jesus trying to do? He is battling against the evil one. He is, it's a word we don't use too often, but the Lord is a warrior. He's going to fight. And who is he fighting for, by the way? He's fighting for us. And why is he fighting for us? Because he loves us. I recently came across the definition of love that I haven't heard before. When you say I love someone, what does that mean? It means you matter to me. See, God is saying to you and to me and to all of us that we matter to him. We matter to him so much that he is going to fight for us. And he's taken the fight to the evil one. And he is here to rescue us. They go back to that image of those movies, by the way, maybe, of the one going to rescue, that rescue mission. They don't just waltz in there. There's always hurdles they have to do. There's fights they have to do. And this is what Jesus is doing with the evil one. And so he does. Throughout all his public ministry, and it leads to where? It leads to Jerusalem. It leads to this ultimate battle. And all through scriptures, we've seen it's always going to lead to there. And sure enough, we have Jesus' passion. There he is, he's carrying the cross. There he is, taking scourges on the back, being crowned with thorns. Why? Because you matter to him. Because he loves you. Because he loves me. He's led to Calvary. And he's put on the cross. Not put on the cross, he is nailed to the cross. He's experienced this pain. And this is where the evil one is thinking, I got him. He's about to die. And you know what? The evil one's right. He is about to die. And he does die. But what does Jesus say right before his death? What does he say? It is finished. Now, hearing this as a kid and even as an adult sometimes, like, it is finished, what does that mean? See, this battle is finished. And Jesus, the ambush predator, has the evil one right where he wants him. Let me use a little more modern term here. Jesus is saying, I got you. Another word, checkmate. Checkmate to the evil. Because what does Jesus do? Yeah, he dies and he descends into hell. He goes into the jail. He goes into the prison of death. What does he do? He grabs all those who have been ensnared by death and he leads them out triumphantly. So much better, by the way, than capture the flag, right? He leads them out triumphantly and not back just to a game, not just back to this life, but eternally with him. This has been Jesus' plan. This has been God's plan all along, ever since Adam and Eve, to rescue us. And so he goes down, he humbles himself, sharing in our humanity so that we can share in his divinity. And he brings what? He brings us to that eternal light. We hear about this in John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, not death. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Praise God. Alleluia. Jesus brings life. Jesus brings light, a light that shines eternally. Jesus comes to rescue us. Can't rescue ourselves. We have to go to our Savior. This is what he loves to do. Why? Because you matter to him. And he wants us to raise out of that darkness of death, of sin, of addiction, whatever it may be. He wants to grab us by the hand and be our Savior. Today, this is what we celebrate, that we have a God who truly cares about us, who loves us, and wants to take us by the hand and lead us where? To life with him, life eternally, where there is no more pain, there is no more death, just being one with God. And that is why we cry out, Alleluia.